Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. Hey everyone, April here. I've made it to 50 plus episodes of Go Bayside. This upcoming episode that you're going to hear after this quick announcement is episode 51. But I just want to say briefly a few things. First of all, Go Bayside can now be found on Stitcher. So if you go to stitcher.com, search for Go Bayside, you can listen to it there. You can stream it there. You can also leave reviews on Stitcher as well as iTunes. And again, I want to thank everybody for leaving iTunes reviews. I really appreciate them. Secondly, this is a true thing. Many of you have emailed me to ask if and where you can donate. I promise, which is like the nicest thing of all time. I can't believe it. But now I have set a PayPal donation button on the Tumblr. So if you go to gobayside.tumblr.com, at the bottom of the right-hand column, there is a PayPal donation button. If you'd like to donate, go nuts. If you don't want to, totally get it. It was something I didn't even think of until, like I said, several people asked about it, which is amazing. And you guys are super nice. And so, yes, of course, that would help offset like hosting costs and stuff like that. So that's it. And let's go ahead and get started with episode 51 of Go Bayside. Beep, 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 Go Bayside. Beep, 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 Go Bayside. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, you guys, welcome to another episode of Go Bayside, the Saved by the Bell podcast, where I have a friend over to my apartment and we watch an episode of the show and then break it down bit by bit for you guys. And this is a really exciting one because, well, first of all, my friend James Urbaniak is here, and
Hello.
This is the first time you've ever watched an episode of this show.
First Saved by the Bell I've ever seen.
That you've ever seen.
I've seen bits of it.
Right.
You know, I'm culturally literate,
right?
So I've picked up on, I've heard of Screech. I knew that Elizabeth Berkeley was on it.
Yes.
But I'd never seen a whole episode, so it was very exciting.
It was very exciting.
But, you know, I'm friends with a lot of, I'm 50 years old, so I was like in my 30s when this was on TV. It was
right.
Like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So 90s.
I was in high, yeah, it was like
early
90s.
Mid-90s?
Yeah.
But I'm friends with a lot of millennials.
Right.
And so I try to understand the culture that they came from.
Sure. You want to speak
people.
Their language.
Yeah, I want to understand.
Well, interestingly enough, though, it was first, well, the episode that we just watched is called Date Auction, and the original air date was November the 9th, 1991.
Wow, that is a long time ago.
Yeah, they originally aired on Saturday mornings, and I did watch them then, too, but then the reruns, when I really got into it, was when I was in high school, so like mid-90s.
Right.
But what I want you to do is go ahead and summarize the entire plot for us in just like a few sentences,
and then
we'll really get into it.
Okay. Well, there is a meeting of the student council.
Yes.
And they're discussing funds that they need, and they need new cheerleader uniforms, and they need to raise like $600 for the uniform. So they decide to have a date auction where they auction off boys for girls to go on dates with.
Right.
And so everyone is sort of mismatched. The result of the date auction is that now I don't remember the names of the characters. Blondie McGee, Paul Michael, what's his name?
Zach.
Zach.
Aryan Dream, Zach. Yeah.
Zach gets auctioned off by a chubby girl named Wendy.
Yes.
Who's like an unlikely date for him.
Right.
The African American girl,
Lisa.
Lisa. A new character you told me is introduced.
Brian. Brian the black
Brian,
nerd.
He's not a nerd so much as a bookish fellow, but
yes.
He doesn't play with the affectation of nerds the way the other nerds
on the
show.
Oh, right, yeah, he's not a classic nerd.
He's more of a good-looking, studious guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she, from what I gleaned from the show, is kind of a valley girlish.
Yeah, she's like totally shallow, all about
shallow
shopping.
Chick, so she's not into his interest. So they're all kind of mismatched. And meanwhile, Elizabeth Berkley is very threatened by the fact that Slater,
yes,
her boyfriend, has been auctioned off as well.
Yes.
Who got him? I don't even remember.
Kelly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is they're all mismatched. And then by the end of it, they all learn a little something about identity and being true to yourself.
I think
that's the best way I can abbreviate that.
Well,
like at first, Blondie McGee like resists the chubby girl, but then at the end he realizes the right thing to do is to actually not only dance with her, but then invite her to the
Max.
After party.
Yeah.
The Max is the cafe where they hang out?
Yeah, it's like the diner they hang out. Oh, okay. Well,
that's the thumbnail.
No, that's great. That's perfectly done. Perfectly done. Because we need to really get into it and pick it apart because I have so much to say, and especially even about like the end lesson we're supposed to take away from it. Okay, well, yeah. So the episode opens with them in the student council meeting.
No, the episode opens with the opening credits. And for someone who's never seen the show, it looks like if you were going
to
do a parody of like a 90s kid show opening credits. What is the mania with like colored triangles? And like, you know what I'm saying? There's just this mania.
Who is it? My friend Janet, or I think it was Janet.
For brightly colored geometric patterns.
Janet said it just looked like an 80s bedspread. That they're running the credits over an 80s bedspread.
Also, the clothing is just full of crazy colored patterns.
Oh, totally. I guess it's just supposed to be like, kids are fun and have fun times.
Did you wear clothes like that? You were a kid then.
Yes. I was a teenager when this was airing in reruns. And no, I was like a punk. So I wore like, you know, fishnets and Doc Martens. I dressed like the Deal Sisters when I was in high school.
Yeah, indeed.
Like I wanted to be like an L7.
Thank you.
That's like how I dress.
Reference received.
Yes. So, but on the show that would have, you know, I would have been one of the, like the gross punks.
A weirdo. Yeah. Comic relief.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You would have been very sullen and sulky.
Yeah, or I'm trying to think. No, totally. But I have talked about with people before. I don't know about in your high school. Like I had nerds, quote unquote, in my high school, but none of them were like stereotypical nerd. They didn't have tape on their glasses and shit like that.
These are very sketch comedy type nerds.
They're like Revenge of the Nerds nerds.
Even Revenge of the Nerds attempted to be a little more.
I guess Booger was a little
play
out
them
there,
a little more like nerd-wise. Actual people.
Yeah.
Of course, the most realistic nerd from that period is like Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah,
actually comes off as an actual nerd.
Yeah, and who doesn't even wear glasses.
Doesn't wear glasses, doesn't have a nerdy voice.
Yeah.
Actually has a lot of attitude and is very cocky and confident.
Yeah, that's
which
totally
is actually,
more nerdy.
Which is actually a very nerdy quality.
Yes.
That he's smart and he's very confident in himself, but he's this little guy.
Yes, I agree with you entirely.
Not romantically viable in the high school.
I'll say this, though, because they also have... To me, nerds, like, okay, the nerds in my school were the people getting, like, the most laid. Like, band nerds got, like, crazy laid because they fucked each other.
Sure, yes, because they're in a community.
Yeah.
They're in a specific community within the school where they can interact with each other.
But it's like the weirdos were getting, like, way more action, I feel like, than the quote-unquote popular people or cool people.
I see that. Because
they're all doing each other.
Even as a grown-up, you still meet and... go out with people in a community.
Yeah,
But the nerds in this like are doing kind of Urkel voices. Now,
is
Urkel happening at the same time as this?
Well, this is pre-Urkel.
It is?
Well, yeah.
It's pre-Urkel.
It's like a pre-9/11. It's a pre-Urkel.
Because the nerds are
world.
Doing this kind of nerd thing.
Well, especially that one black nerd.
Then there's one black kid on it who's doing like a lower register
like
Urkel
a frog
voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of talking like this.
Yes, and they never, I mean, I guess that's just part of his nerdiness.
I'm sure he came in for the audition, pulled that choice out of the hat, and they were like, this guy's amazing.
Done.
Call his agent.
Featured extra, buddy. Congratulations.
His agent called, great news. That's what he said. The kid picked up, great news. I got you a Saved by the Bill, possible recurring.
The bad
they
news?
They loved you.
You're going to have a sore throat for a while because you have to do that voice.
They love
constantly.
That voice, yeah.
Yeah.
Top of show. No, yeah. No, a shared card at the end.
So, yeah, so you were tripping over the opening credits already. You were
I just loved how
this.
Quintessentially 90s they were.
Yeah, completely. But, yeah, so then it does open student council meeting, and they are having, like, a budget. They're going, okay, we need more money for the cheerleaders' uniforms.
Oh, also, it starts with Blondie McGee addressing the audience.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Is that a regular thing?
Totally.
He breaks the fourth wall in the beginning?
Yes. Not always, not every single time, but he does things like talk to the camera. He also can freeze time.
Right.
In some episodes. Like, yeah, he
much
totally.
Much like Leo in...
In The Wolf of Wall Street.
Wall Street.
Yes.
If
did you like that
if
movie,
I may be
by
permitted
the way?
A comparison. I loved it, and I saw your Facebook post.
Love it so much.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe, this is way off topic, but I just couldn't, because I was reading my thing on Facebook, and all these people were like, I walked out of it. It's so disgusting and terrible. And I'm like, yeah, that's the point. Anyway, that's way off topic.
That's
but...
really funny, because there were walkouts during mine, and I don't think it was just people going to the bathroom, because it's very long.
Right. No, I told people are apparently super pissed about it, and I'm like...
Well, that's a subject for another podcast.
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. But I loved it. And yes, it is. Zach is the Jordan Belfort of Saved by the Bell times. Arguably the same morals as that guy, because he just does whatever he wants.
Is this the first episode where we parallel Saved by the Bell with the Scorsese movie?
I believe so. And I don't think it'll be the last, though, to be honest. I don't think it'll be the last.
Yes.
But yeah, so he does talk to the camera, and he's like, hey, we're having this meeting.
The thing I was struck by is the 90s hair that everybody has
when we
see the gang at the student council meeting.
Yes.
The girls all have this kind of big 90s hair.
Yeah, like big bangs and stuff.
And the boys have this kind of close cropped.
Yeah. Well, except Slater, who's got like his Jerry Curl, like mullet thing always, his signature.
Let's see. They're going to raise money.
Well, here's my thing with this that you don't know because you're not a super fan like I am, but the school is in like the Palisades. Like, Bayside is a fake high school, but they say many times they live in the Palisades.
Right. So yeah, they mentioned that they're in California.
They're rich.
Like, they're rich kids.
They're having a meeting to raise $600 to buy cheerleading. To me, I'm like, one of your parents can just do... Like, there are certain episodes where they're super rich, and then there are certain episodes where they're like this. Like, we need to raise this kind of small amount of money considering where we come from. So that fast, immediately I'm like, what? Like any
then
of your
at
parents?
The auction, like I think Wendy bids $100 to be with Blondie.
Right. And it's like, well, she just has $100 as a teenager.
And they give the principal, he's the principal, right?
The
adult authority figure.
Yes, the one adult.
He's given one line about where do you get your allowances? Like they have to acknowledge that it's weird. But for storytelling purposes, she has to outbid everybody.
Well, right, of course. But yeah, so that it's weird that they're having this meeting because in the grand scheme of where they live and where they come from, $600 isn't a lot of money, probably.
Now, Jesse is very opposed to this idea of the auction.
Oh, well, here's the weird thing I wrote down, though, because they go, they're trying to think of, sorry, I get really into it. I mean,
please.
Pick all the meat off the bone. And it's a meaty episode. Lots of stuff happened. So when they're having this meeting to be like, how are we going to, what ideas do you guys have to raise money? Kelly immediately, within a millisecond, goes, a date auction. We should have a date auction.
Right.
And that just struck me as weird because why would that be? You'd be like, bake sale, car wash.
That's like, it probably an idea that she'd been carrying around for a while.
She just secretly.
And when she finally saw her opportunity.
Yes. She's like, I can bid on dudes. Yeah, that was just a weird thing that was her immediate first idea right out of the gate. And then, but then everybody's like, yes, of course,
everyone,
except Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse, and she's opposed to it and actually calls it sexist flesh peddling.
Thank you. I wrote that down.
Which was interesting, I thought, foreshadowing of her later role in Showgirls.
Yes. But also, that's like the name of like a Naomi Wolf book or something, too. Sexist flesh peddling. I loved it. I loved that phrase.
Or a kind of alternative band from the early 80s.
Oh.
From like Northern England.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally.
There was a band called Human Sexual Response.
Yes.
Like,
totally.
You know,
yeah. So,
sexist flesh peddling. Yeah.
I'd go see that double bill. Oh, and then so somebody calls a prime. Somebody says prime honk. Who says that? I wrote down the. Oh, because Lisa says she wants to do it. Lisa's like, whatever, Jesse. I want to get a prime honk.
Yeah, prime honk. Which yeah. I think there are many. There's lots of audience sweetening on the show.
Yes.
There's lots of woos and ahs and all those group utterances.
Right.
So that one gets a woo, like the sexy woo.
Yeah.
Woo.
Sexy woo. It did.
The age-appropriate
and
sexy
is,
woo.
I want the word hunk to come back in a big way.
Hunk, yes. He's a real hunk.
I want hunk and buns to come back into the vernacular. I want to take those away from the secretaries yeah. that have co-opted them, and I want to use them in my everyday life.
How do you feel about Foxy, to refer to an attractive
woman? I like Foxy. I will say, relatively recently, a dude called me Foxy for real, and I was like, you can
hey,
get
that's
it.
That's nice.
It was kind of nice. I'm like in favor of that being brought
yeah,
back.
Foxy's good.
And yeah, or a fox. He was yeah. like, you're a fox. I'm like, yes. I'm on board with that fully.
The Fox and the Hunk.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Disney movie from the 80s about two very attractive people.
Let's write
one of the
that
more
movie.
Underrated. One of the more underrated
the
Disney films.
The Fox and the Hunk.
The Fox and the Hunk.
And it's
yeah.
a cat and dog that talk to each other.
Yeah. But they're super hot.
But they're ripped. It's like the first furry movie. The
but
fox then,
they
and the hunk.
But the thing is, they also have inner pain.
Yeah.
And it's not just about it. They're not just happy because they're good looking. That's what we learned.
Hey, we learned that life seems easy if you're a fox or a hunk, but
sure.
it's not.
No, you got your own problems.
You do.
People have certain assumptions because you're attractive.
Because you're a fox and or yes. a hunk. Okay, so the next scene is they're like in the hallway of the school and everybody's talking about it. They're like, oh, this is a great idea. This
yeah.
is so awesome. And because Screech goes up to a girl, like just a random girl,
right.
and goes, hey, what would you pay to date me?
Yes.
What would you pay for me in an auction or whatever? And the girl goes, I'd pay $50 not to date you.
Right.
And I wrote that down only because it's like, I kind of can't figure out if that's a good burn or not. Because if you're trying to really
burn
somebody.
That's the most original burn. Yeah.
Here's my problem is with the amount.
Right.
the amount of money.
Yeah, it's like
do you
it's
go
kind
way
of
high
a lot of
or way
money
low?
For a kid, but it seems like a kind of middling figure.
That's what
for a burn.
I can't tell.
I'd pay $300 not to date. You know, that would.
That's what I can't tell.
This is probably in the writer's room. There was a lot of discussion about how much money the kids had.
But for me, for the burn to land, for it to be like a real good burn. Do you go super high on the money or super low? What's more insulting? Is it more insulting to go, I worked really hard to earn a lot of money to pay to not hang out with you?
Right.
Or is it, it's not even worth a lot of money?
Well, I would go high because
I'd
it's
go
just
high
figurative.
Too.
You're not literally saying I'm going
to So I feel like
money.
It's a better burn to go like, I'd pay $1 million to not
right.
date you.
Right. But yeah, I think it's better to keep it within the realm of the possible. Right. For the burn to be more hurtful. $1 million is so unrealistic, it's just general, and I think the burn then evaporates. Whereas if you're actually saying, I pay $300, that's a hard, high figure.
I guess for a teenager.
Can
or
we
two.
Go back in time and rewrite
yeah,
this
yeah.
show?
Well, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy, because I wrote that down.
No,
like,
your
that
point is
been,
well taken.
Yeah, that could have been a better burn, is what I'm saying. Okay, so Screech, so the lady totally did the Screech, and then... Lisa, the next scene is at the Max.
Yes.
Because Brian, the black nerd, the black intellectual snob.
Yes.
And the reason I point that out is because, well, first of all.
Who, by the way, has a moderate fade. It's like it's.
He totally
it's,
does.
He has a nice fade that
it's
doesn't
not
look.
Quite like Kid and Play.
No, it's not like one of those crazy dated fades
no,
from
no.
the early 90s. It actually
it's
a like,
tasteful
oh, it's,
fade.
It's a tasteful fade. It's a fade that has stood 22 years. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't look incredibly dated. Like, you watch old episodes of Arsenio, and it's just
right,
like,
right.
Oh,
and it's like
that hairstyle.
He has a Gumby.
It had its
point.
Moment.
Which I feel like Bobby Brown. I was talking to a friend about this the other day for real about how I think Bobby Brown single-handedly tried to make the Gumby thing happen, and nobody jumped on board. Can you think of any other black dudes from that time that had Gumby hair? I only
right.
can think of
you
Bobby
mean
Brown.
The height and shape of the
yeah,
of the
like in the
yes.
Every Little Step video.
And it's got like a slant
yeah.
to it up top.
And I feel like he's like, I'm going to drop this on everybody and they're going to freak out and everyone's going to follow this. And
right.
I don't feel like anybody did. I feel like the rest of the famous black dudes at the time were like, we're good. Like, we'll just stick with our regular fade.
Yeah. Well, anyway, and also the fact is he has a fade, but it's very
businesslike.
It's businesslike because he's dressed and portrayed as very bookish. He wears like a shirt and tie.
Yes. I will say this. This dude is crazy handsome.
He's a good-looking fellow.
And I feel like he's been in other stuff, this
guy. I'm sure
he
is.
His face looks familiar. But he's like a real smooth-looking dude, but is like an intellectual snob and is kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And he also, this is the one and only time he's ever in this show. He features prominently in this episode, but he never has appeared before or after.
Yes. But he's handsome, so Lisa Turtle.
Well, this also, let's be real, this smacks of like, you're the only other black kid in the school, so I should date you. And he's not having it. And he's like, you're shallow, so whatever. And is actually, like, pretty mean to her. Like, openly mean to her, openly mocks her. And so she sits down at the Max and tries to hit on him, tries to talk to him. And he's like, whatever, I'm not having it. And then gets up and goes, I got to go to a French lecture.
Yes.
And I wrote that down only because that sounded like a very not high school thing. I don't, unless he's in the most advanced French class they offer at high school, but that just sounds like a college thing.
Yes. When is there a lecture in high school?
Yeah, exactly. But I guess since he's so smart, we can just assume maybe he does go to college part-time or something. So he leaves.
Yeah.
Then Zach walks in and sits down next to this lady we learn is named Lydia, also a character who's never been in before or since. And is like bribing her, like weirdly begging her to bid on him at the dance or at the date auction. And I wrote this down. It just struck me as weird because he's Zach. He's the king of the school, hottest dude in school. Like, he pretty much knows every girl's going to bid on. I didn't get the point of him being like, yo, you better bid on me, Lydia. Because it's like, well, you know, every girl in school is going to bid on you. Like, what difference does it make?
Right.
Unless he already knew in advance. I don't think at that point he knew Wendy was going to bid on him.
Right.
Anyway, so that's a weird thing. Yeah. So Lydia bit on me. Okay, so the next scene is Jesse in the girls' locker room.
Continuing to oppose this.
And basically like putting the fear of God into all the girls.
But what we glean is that it's not so much that she feels this is inappropriate as she's very threatened by the idea of Slater being on a date with someone else.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a combination of that and she's like wants to teach him a lesson, but she's also like, yeah, no girls better go out with my dude.
Yes, and she's very she gets very forceful in the locker room.
She says, if you bid on him, I will hunt you in the streets like a rabid dog.
Mm.
She says that.
And then she slams a locker for emphasis.
Yes.
She slams a door.
And gets a woo. I think she got a woo on that.
She gets a woo.
Or an ominous
several girls
or like a
leave.
Woo.
Several girls leave, and then there's this, there's a, it's not a sexy woo, it's more of a, it's a woo of, what would you say? A like, woo of respect.
Woo!
Like, you did it. She gets a woo of respect.
I love the categories.
Yeah,
of
well,
woo.
That's how they were all labeled with tape back then.
The masking tape on the front of the buttons.
Yeah.
Sexy woo?
Yeah.
Respectful woo? Ominous woo.
Yes.
What other categories
like
of woo?
In Annie Hall when there's, we need a big laugh here.
Yeah, totally.
We need a sexy woo here.
Yes.
Woo! Moderate sexy woo.
Woo. Yeah, so.
The woo machine.
That's right.
You can buy the woo machine from Saved by the Bell on eBay.
That's another band I saw back in the day.
Woo machine.
The woo machine. So they, so she's like, yeah, I'll hunt you in the streets like a rabid dog, which is like insane words for a high school girl to say to other high school girls. But they're like, okay. And then the very next scene is the date auction. Like, it seems as if in 24 hours, even though there was a little bit of debate about this idea and whatever.
It's happening. It's such a strong idea. There's no way.
You can't stop this
that
train.
Elizabeth Berkeley is going to stop it with her cultish insistence.
It's such a strong idea.
Yeah. You can't fight it. Once it was put out there.
It just caught on.
Yeah.
So they're already at, like, the date auction. Belding is hosting it, of course, Principal Belding. And he introduces the guy, one of the nerds, who is a nerd who's in, like, every episode, Herbert. The principal of the school goes, our next hunk is... dot, dot, dot. Here comes Herbert. So, and I wrote that down because I couldn't tell if the principal, the leader, the adult among these children... mm-hmm. is mocking this nerd, or if he's genuinely trying to build him up. If he's really trying to be like, yeah, this guy is a cool dude.
Right. This is a, yes. Now, had that character, that is that a recurring character?
Yes. Herbert the Nerd is in many episodes.
Right.
Yes.
Who's the most extreme portrayal of a nerd?
The most extreme.
Like, there's nothing about his behavior that comes off as a real person.
No.
Whatsoever. It's just this young actor.
Young! That dude was 35.
Yeah, exactly.
Minimum 35.
That guy had a house in Toluca Lake
to support.
And two kids. Yeah. Exactly.
So he's like, I'll pull out all the nerd stops. Just let me feed my kids.
That, now, I just from my first viewing of this show and Principal Belding, I think he's just trying to... Yeah, I don't think he's mocking him. I think he's just trying to sell this idea.
That he's a hunk. Or just trying to keep everybody on board with the hunk
auction. Just trying to keep the language of, trying to move units. He's just trying to move units. And now our next hunk, he wants...
Move units!
Yeah, he's trying to get the girls to bet. Not bet, but, you know.
Right. Well, so the nerd comes out, nobody bids on him, and then cut. There's a jump cut, and then he's... he goes, okay, sold for 15 cents to whatever, which, look, this principal, you run a high school, sir. kids can be mean. You know all that shit. You put a minimum on the bids. You put a minimum the kids save face. You don't let anybody go for 15 cents in front of the whole school. I don't care how big of a nerd he is.
Yes.
So that's mean and terrible, and that is something you should think about when you plan your date auction at a high school. So that happens. He goes for 15 cents. Then the next guy who comes up
is Brian, I believe.
Is Brian.
The
Watkins, we're told.
That the studious,
yes,
yet handsome.
Yes, very handsome.
Black kid.
Now, he comes out, and immediately there are only two girls bidding on him.
And they're both African American.
The only two black chicks.
And
at
no racial
Bayside.
Lines are crossed. No white girls bet on him.
That's right.
And yet when Zach is bid, racial lines are crossed.
Oh, yeah.
And black and white girls bid on him.
Well, because look at him. Zach's so hot, you can see no color. Zach comes out, and it's like a United Colors of Benetton ad starts bidding for him. Everybody's in it to win it. But that's Zach. I mean, come on. But with Brian, immediately it's Lisa and the one other black girl at school, bidding against each other. Lisa wins, of course. And then Brian... when Belding's like, okay, Brian, Lisa wins, you're sold to Lisa. Also weird because he's a black dude. It's weird. That whole thing, you're sold to Lisa. Little insensitive.
Yes.
He openly makes a face, though. He looks at Belding God, Lisa's terrible. Again, you're standing in front of everyone. At least just be nice and go, okay, cool. But he's like, oh, don't make me hang out with Lisa. Gross.
It's astonishing that a character on this show would tip their hand.
Yeah.
That we would, the subtext would be
astonishing. But again, it's just
would be clear.
It makes me, Brian is such a dick. Every step of the way, he is such a raging dick that you just want to go, Lisa, you're better than this. And that's actually, look, I know I'm yelling at you, and this is the first time you ever watched the show and you don't know these things, but a thing that makes me mad as a fan of the show is Lisa is beautiful. Lisa's totally beautiful and, a reasonably appealing person. She's not a monster. They never give her a boyfriend. She never has a cool boyfriend in the history of the show.
Right.
And that always bothered me.
She is in the tradition of the... It's not that she's necessarily not smart. She's just not interested in things beyond fashion.
Right.
And so she's like...
As I would argue, many teenagers are.
Cher in Clueless.
Yeah.
Or Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde.
Totally.
They're both very likable. And those characters also go through something by the end. Does she ever get beyond her kind of...
Because at the end, her whole thing is, fashion. She gets into FIT or something.
Oh, okay. She does?
Yeah.
All right. Do they all go to college? And then is there a special episode where they all go to Hawaii or something?
Are you joking?
Well,
I
think I've heard of that.
Oh, okay, good. I was like, holy shit. You know the future. Yes, there is. Also, Zach gets a 1502 on his SATs. So he ain't no dummy.
Still waters run deep.
He ends up going to Yale, I think.
Holy cow.
Yeah. But no, so she, I mean, throughout the series,
he becomes the president of the United States in the future.
Totally. He becomes Jordan Belfort.
Yeah.
He's totally a Wall Street dude.
By the way, this is, speaking of 70s directors, this is this is also has an Altman-esque texture,
where
it's
so
like
many characters,
so many characters,
so many
or Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
I'm assuming other episodes focus more on one or two characters, and there's a couple of...
Yeah.
There's actually no real B story in this. It's just all
right.
about the auction.
There's like,
and then there's everyone's particular
take on the auction.
Take on the auction,
right.
Yeah.
I will say you are definitely the first guest to compare anything Saved by the Bell to either Robert Altman or Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
So,
let's see who else we can. I'll see if I can find an Orson Welles reference before the podcast is over.
Yeah, so Lisa wins Brian. He's super bummed about it, makes it known to everybody. That's over. And then so Belden goes, hey, let's bring out the next person, and it's Slater.
Yes.
And of course, when he comes out, there's just complete silence because Jesse has scared
everyone.
The
girls are all intimidated.
Totally. And now this is when it gets inappropriate for me, even more so than before, is because Belding goes, so it's weird, like Slater, of course, is like, what? Like, how come nobody likes me? And Belding, the principal and an adult, goes, show them those biceps, son.
Right.
That's creepy and gross. And like what a pedophile would say, like, hey,
well,
flex.
Yes. But again, he's just benignly trying to move units, trying to keep the sale going. He figures that's something the girls will like.
Right. And, but it's still, it's like, that's weird. Yeah, so
the actor acquits himself without any suggestion that he's being inappropriate to me, Mr. Belding.
Yeah. Yeah, he... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he... What can you do at this point if you're Belding? I mean, you're right. He's in a position where he's like, you got to move you, and it's like, whatever. The girls want to see you flex. Do it up.
Yeah.
So he flexes. Then Kelly bids, and everybody gasps.
Yes.
And is like, oh, my God, Jesse's going to beat your ass. And she just does it anyway, and she wins.
She bets. She bids $10.
$10, which...
which is just a gesture.
It is, because...
Well, the thing was her idea.
The thing was her idea.
I think she knows that she's safe
with Jesse, and that she's not
Jesse.
Really going to fight her.
Yeah.
But I would think her bidding would like open up the floodgates, because in the show, Zach is the number one dude, but Slater is a close number two. Like, they're the two hottest,
the
quote unquote,
boys.
Dudes in the school. So I would think that her doing that would make the other girls go, well, she can do it, we can too. But that doesn't happen. She wins Slater for $10, which I think is a crazy underbid, I'm sure, from what he expected. But he's pretty psyched. He gets Kelly.
By the way, I felt like the actor who played Slater was the most, sort of the only one who underplays.
You think so?
Yes. I thought he was kind of...
Let me get this straight. Are you saying he's the most talented of the cast?
Not necessarily. It's just like, part of what's interesting about the show is it's just acting styles colliding with each other.
Right.
Like, there's no uniformity.
It's everybody just like yelling?
Like the... Yeah, well, like the nerds are like Spanish language sketch comedy or something, where like guys have giant glass, you know,
totally.
Just that really super broad
totally.
Stuff you see on. And then, but then like Slater is kind of doing a kind of underplaying thing. And
Who, because you are a professional actor and you know these things better than I do, because I'm not and suck at it. Who would you say is the best on the show? Like, just watching this now, since you've never ever seen it and you can say objectively, whose performance did you enjoy the most?
That's a good question. I actually rather like, what's her name? Turtle.
Lisa.
I think she commits to the energy
uh-huh.
of that character.
Right.
And I don't know that it's a performance in depth, but it's very confident.
Just like out of all these kids, you think she's doing the best job?
It's a hard question, because the show is barely directed.
Right.
Like, there's no uniformity of performance. And that's obviously not, and it's not important to the creators of the show.
Right.
That there's any depth of character.
Right.
Or uniformity of style.
Right.
Whatsoever.
Right.
So they just allow the nerds to
What do you think was
like,
their goal? What do you think was important to them?
Telling these little stories and selling Crossfire during the commercials. Crossfire! Right?
Yes.
That was
their goal.
Just moving board games.
Crossfire is so right on. Like, I literally
I just
saw
discovered
the
Crossfire commercial recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I totally saw that many times during this. That and, like, you know, various breakfast cereals.
Yeah, selling cereals and Crossfire. Yeah. That's the purpose of this show. And just so that the creators can keep their nice houses in the valley.
Right, of course. And the guys who play the nerds who are 35 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as soon as Kelly wins Slater, Jesse is like, well, fine. Sight unseen goes, I bid on the next guy who comes out here, $25. And it's, of course, Screech.
Yes.
Which she knows who's in their crew. She knows who goes to the school. She should have known better than to just bid sight unseen that there was a chance she was going to get Screech.
Right.
Yeah, so Screech gets $25 while Slater gets $10.
Yeah.
Shocking turn of events. So then they're like, congratulations, you got Screech. And she's like, oh, shit, this sucks. And then Belding, for the final Bachelor, goes, the following guy needs no introduction.
Indeed.
Which is hilarious. Like, how is Zach like a celebrity at school is hilarious. So he's like, this guy needs no introduction. Zach walks out and it's like Beatlemania. Like, literally screaming girls fainting in the aisles style. When, again, it's like, you see this guy every day in the halls. You probably sit next to him in math.
Right, but now there's... The context has changed where there's actually a chance that you can go on a date with him.
Right, right. And everybody immediately starts bidding. And like you said...
Crosses racial lines.
All colors, all creeds.
Yes.
All religions. All start bidding on him. It becomes so frenzied that there's actually a joke I genuinely did laugh just in the way that, like, everybody's like, bidding, and Screech goes, I bid 50! And they just look at him like, you what? And that made me laugh.
Yes.
And then finally...
Some blonde girl bet $75.
Yeah, it's Lydia. It's the previously he was trying to bribe Lydia. She bid 75, and then Wendy comes in.
A chubby girl.
Yes. Who swoops in and is like, I bid 100.
And then Belding actually makes a joke about, what are your allowances like?
Exactly.
They have to sort of acknowledge the unlikeliness of...
Of a teenager just having $100 of pocket
money. Let
alone
22 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the early 90s, $100 could buy you a house,
right?
April.
That's right. I remember those days well.
And
So, yeah. So she... But it's the same case of, like, what Brian did, because when Wendy wins, he... Like, Zach looks at Belding like, oh, my God, don't make me hang out with the fat chick. Like, he's saying that with his eyes.
Yes.
Now, here's where, and this comes up later, when Jesse is talking about Screech, and Zach's like, come on, you'll break his heart, and it's like, learn a lesson. This show so picks and chooses who it's okay to make fun of and who it isn't.
Right.
Because, you know, the moral or whatever of the story... Like, on the most base level that, like, any human being would know, it's like, don't be mean to fat people, kids.
Yes.
Which is so ridiculous. But then it's like, but it's totally okay to make fun of nerds all the time.
Right. Well, also, that actress who plays Wendy is good, too. She actually, like, invests it with a certain emotional realism.
Totally.
And she's extremely engaging and charming.
Yes.
Like, she has a very winning personality. And,
absolutely.
And she's...
And she's very cute. And another thing that bothers me is they have to, I guess, to emphasize... Like, just because she weighs more than everybody else, she would still dress her... Like, they dress her like a mom, like a suburban mom. Like, they totally do. Like, she's
wearing
stuff... Right,
they're less colorful geometric patterns.
Yeah, it's like super...
She doesn't have the crazy geometric 90s...
It's just, like, super matronly.
Yeah.
And it's, like, she would still wear clothes of the
time.
Right,
she still was supposed to be a kid in the
90s. Yeah. So I guess that's just to make her look even front. Like, she, all fat girls are frumpy. When it's like, no, they'd still wear cool stuff.
Yeah, and she, but she also, like, she comes off as confident. And,
I would hang out with Wendy any day of the week.
Yes, she's, the actress is very charming.
Totally. So, but anyway, so yeah, so Zach is looking at Belding like, oh my God, this is the worst fate that could ever befall me, is I have to actually hang out with a fat girl. Like, what a dick. Okay, so the next scene is Zach and Slater walking into the Max, which, by the way, I wrote this down.
I just love hearing you say the Max.
That's the that's their hangout.
I know. Is there a cafe in Silver Lake called the Max yet?
The Max? There like, should be. I would open
with
one.
With the 90s motif.
It's got to be a 50s diner as imagined in the 90s. It's got to be that specific.
Exactly. Yes.
The 90s a idea of a neon. 50s diner. Yeah. Totally. So, but when they walk into the Max, there's a woo button print that people woo when they just walk in the door.
Wait, Zach and Wendy?
Zach and Slater. Oh, it's just Zach's... two hot dudes, so they're like wooing.
Oh, they just get a woo on their entrance.
On the entrance.
Entrance woo.
Yes.
Yeah, entrance woo. That's
it's kind of a
blue
sexy woo, though.
Woo!
It's a combination entrance yeah. woo, sexy woo, because they're so good looking, apparently. Yeah, so they walk into the Max, and then that's when Wendy is there, and she comes up to Zach to be like, hey, I want to talk about our date, you know, coming up. And again, yes. Slater goes, have fun with that, preppy, and like,
right
in front of her face is like, haha, she's gross.
And she makes a self-deprecating joke.
Yes.
She says, I'm so excited I haven't been able to eat, which is probably good for me.
Yes, which I gotta say, like, broke my heart.
Yes.
Because...
That was an actual, yes, emotional beat. And it's also the talent of that actress. She's like, the performances in this are just every man or woman for themselves. they're getting no direction about
right.
performances. It's
like,
just
do
like,
what you think
make more
is.
Faces, nerds. So she's approaching it, you know, with a certain.
Make more faces, nerds.
Yeah,
that
yeah. More faces. That was it. Bigger faces.
We need more faces.
But she plays.
We need to elicit
she, yeah.
more woos.
She plays it very honestly.
She does it, but it also broke my heart in a personal way because when I was growing up, like, I wasn't cool or whatever.
Right.
I was just like, all dudes, I was one of the dudes, which you can guess probably by the amount of times I say the word dude still in my 30s, but I was always seen as like one of the bros. And so right. I always had to make jokes to get guys to like me.
Yes. And it's also her acknowledging
the
unspoken fact that she's overweight
yeah.
and that she knows this is going to be an issue. And so it's her trying to acknowledge that humorously.
Yes.
Deflate the tension.
Yes.
And win him over with her self-deprecating humor.
That is
and
my
charm.
Life. That is my teenage life. I will. It's like 8 Mile style. Like, I'm gonna make the jokes about me first, so you can't
there
do it.
There you go. Yes,
I know it well. So it broke my heart on many levels. One being yes. that I experienced it and did it and
it
know
was.
That. So yeah. So she does that. Zach and Slater are like openly making faces at her, and then he makes up a fakey back injury. Like, she's like, can't wait to go to the dance, and then he's like, just immediately like, oh no, yeah. my back hurts.
Yeah, he says he had an old track injury.
Yeah.
And
like
then
runs
he leaves,
away.
He exits. Yeah, yeah. He flees. Flees is the word.
Yes. He flees the scene and she's just like, okay. And then as he's leaving, Lisa walks in and she's wearing like a full on business suit and like pearls.
Lisa has now undergone a makeover to win the favor
yes.
of Brian.
Yes.
Yeah, she's wearing like this white tailored suit.
Yes.
Like pearls.
Yes.
Oh, glasses.
Glasses, of course.
And she's carrying a bunch of books.
Yes.
And she's now...
Isn't it hilarious? Well, I mean, this is a thing in the world
so
at large.
So she presumably went off and bought this tailored suit.
Oh, completely. And
which
the fake glasses.
Which is, yes.
And as somebody else, you were also wearing glasses. It always made me laugh. In life, I never will understand. It's just like I want to get to the bottom of the origins of mustache rides being 5 cents. That's a genuine goal I have in life.
Right.
To find out where that came from. I want to find out the first person who was like, to make somebody look smart, you put glasses on.
Yes.
Because they are because we can't see. The end. End of story. It's because you can't see. Has zero to do with smarts.
Yes.
I do not know.
It's some dumb idea about, oh, they read a lot, so their eyes
So that's why you
out.
Can't see. I'm like, why is that? I want to go back to the very beginning of the first person.
Why
who was
is
like,
looking at print going to wear out your eyes any more than looking at anything in the world?
Exactly. Exactly.
Just using your eyes.
Why is that a thing? I know this is like the dumbest, most juvenile question, but it's like a genuine question
we
I have.
We were talking earlier. Was it before we were taping? Or, I can't even remember. It's all fluid now, April. But we were talking about like Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
In 16 Candles, who is a... realistic nerd from
completely.
That period.
And
he
wear
does
glasses.
Not wear glasses.
Exactly.
And that's obviously an important... And John Hughes does wear glasses.
Yes.
And obviously relates to that character.
Yes.
But he's like, no. He's not going to have glasses. He's not going to be an archetypal...
Right.
...super idea of what a nerd is.
Right.
He's going to be a confident kid.
Because that's true. I would also... Because nerds are like overly cocky, I think. Like true yeah. nerds. Because they like think they're cool even though they're not.
Right.
So, yeah, anyway, but yeah, so part of Lisa's new, like, I'm smart disguise, along with the business, the tailored business suit,
yes,
and pearls,
because
is glasses.
Brian is not a nerd in terms of nerds on the show. The character's not nerdy. He's studious.
Yeah.
And he's a snob.
Right.
So she turns herself out to look sort of elegant and sophisticated.
Right.
As opposed to nerdy.
Right. And she goes, she comes in, she's got a stack of books, and is like, I was just in the library reading up on Tolstoy.
Also, I noted that when she entered, there was no sweetening. She didn't get a kind of surprise woo. Or
I think it was stunned silence. I think that was, it
right,
was like,
that was
who's
the cue
this lady?
That they put. Here's a cue, stunned silence.
Suck all the breath out of the room. We're all shocked that Lisa's coming in like this.
Every sort of beat change gets a woo or a laugh or something. And that's a major beat change. And there was no fake audience noise.
Because it was so major, they didn't even know what to do with themselves. Because they're like, what have you done with the real Lisa?
I think they missed a woo.
Well, they missed a woo opportunity.
They dropped the woo.
Well, that
woo
would have,
drop.
That would have.
Did you like them? They were. That was like drop. 84. Woo drop was another. They were Scottish.
They were Scottish. Woo drop. But they.
Early
that
electronica.
Would have been like a. Oh.
Yeah,
more,
yeah.
That would have more of a that instead of a woo.
Yes. Like, oh, look what she's up
like,
to.
Like, oh.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it would have been an ooh more than a woo.
Ooh more than a woo. And like. A kind of take, like a, huh? Like, yeah. It might have been a question mark on the
I
end
felt
of the
like
ooh.
They missed a beat there.
It was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But so when she's described, she's like, yeah, I was in the library or whatever. And Brian is like, no kidding. Like, you read now? And she's like, yeah, I loved Anna Karenina.
Yeah.
And I wrote that down because I'm like, bitch, you read that in one night? Anna Karenina has like 1,000 pages.
Well, clearly she'd read the Cliff Notes or just did a... It's pre-Wikipedia, but she looked it up somewhere.
Yes, it's pre-internet. Keep in mind all this.
And yet, Brian, this ostensibly smart boy, is like immediately falls for her machinations.
Thank you. I also wrote that down in all caps.
He buys it immediately.
Brian falls for this. So Brian is like, let me get this straight. In the past 12 hours,
yes.
roughly, overnight, you are a total intellectual. You read Anna Karenina plus some supplementary material on Tolstoy. And whatever other stuff she's name checking, it's like, so you can't, that's impossible. But
yes,
he's like, I'm totally
a, there's
believe
a
it.
Gag early on where she first meets him where he's mentioning books. He mentions The Hunchback of Notre Dame and Catcher in the Rye, and she thinks they're both sports books.
Yes.
So she's not.
Which plot literally. Hole or loophole in this plot, because you have to read Catcher in the Rye in high school.
Yeah.
So come on, writers. Do some research. These teenagers would have already read Catcher in the Rye in like 10th grade English, like I
That's
did.
That's true. That's true.
Dummies. But yeah, so exactly. He falls for it, even though roughly 12 hours earlier, she didn't even know what those books meant. And now she's like, yeah, I'm totally into
she's
like Tolstoy.
She's recontextualized herself.
Yeah. And so he's like, cool, this checks out. Will you be my girlfriend? And they're like a couple immediately.
Oh, and then they leave and they get a woo on the exit because they're going to go off to study hall or something together.
Right.
And she says something about it's chilly in there or something. And he says, you can borrow my sweater. So a little suggestion of intimacy.
Pimp move.
And there's a woo. They get a woo on their exit. A sexy woo.
A sexy woo. A sexy woo on the sharing a sweater move. Like, wow, you guys have a low threshold for sexiness.
Well, it's been on his body.
Terms.
Let me make another film reference. There's a famous scene in Rebel Without a Cause where Sal Mineo takes James Dean's jacket. He gives him his jacket, and it's actually weirdly intimate
it's
and even
homoerotic.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's that kind of thing of this is something that you wore. And
right.
Now it's on
touched
me.
His sweaty
yeah,
body.
Exactly.
And now it's going to touch yours.
Exactly.
Weird trivia, by the way, that I only found out relatively recently. Sal Mineo was like, killed in an alley nearby here because he lived in West Hollywood.
Oh, near where we're recording this.
He was like stabbed in an alley nearby.
I knew he
or something.
Died young, but I didn't remember how he died. He was murdered in West Hollywood.
Well, yeah, now I'm going to have to go double check.
Oh
I don't
God.
Know if that's what he died from. I know he was stabbed in like an alley.
Right.
Whether that's what he died from, I'm not
oh,
sure,
I
but
see.
It was
yeah.
like close by. And I was like, oh, that's creepy and weird.
Wow.
And also, I think it was a weird, like, people found out you're gay, we're going to kill you. And then I'm like,
yeah
but this is West Hollywood. Like, everyone's gay. Like,
yeah, but
I thought they were since the founding of this city. Like, that's why we're going to found West Hollywood.
In the pre-Stonewall era, there were, like, you would still go to West Hollywood. And
I feel like that's true. I don't know. I guess I'll never know. If only there were a place I could look up this information and verify it.
Yes.
But, yeah, so they leave to have sexy sweater times in the library.
Right.
And then Wendy
confronts Zach.
Yes. Like, Wendy sees Zach in the hallway, and he's, like, getting water
calls
or whatever.
Him out.
Yeah.
It's calls him out, like, for his bullshit.
Totally.
Yeah.
She's like, what's up, dude? I thought your back hurt. Yeah. He's, like, bending over at the water fountain, and she's kind of like, how can you bend over at the water fountain? I thought your shit was, like, injured. And he's like, yeah, it is. I'm going to acupuncture. And she's like, really? Because I called your house last night, and your mom said you were surfing.
Yeah.
And busted.
He's busted.
Yeah.
And then there's a commercial break.
Well, first, I just want to point this out, especially because you admired Wendy's acting skills earlier.
Yes.
She tells him that she's like, yo, you're a dick. I totally busted you. If you don't want to go with me just because I'm fat, fucking say that shit.
Right.
You're a dick. I'm paraphrasing. I don't think these are her exact
words. Yes, no.
Words.
There's no swearing involved.
But she is basically like, I don't want to go to the dance with you anyway. I want to go alone. At least I know I'm going with somebody who's honest.
That's right.
She storms off and gets an applause break.
Gets an applause, and it's and that's a real curtain line, too.
Yeah.
And then it's crossfire!
Straight to the Count Chocula commercial right after that. Yeah. So, applause break for Wendy. She pieces out. Okay, so then the next scene is Jesse coming into the Max. Zach's sitting down. She sits down next to him and is like, I can't deal with this. Screech is driving me nuts.
Yes.
I don't want to go with him. He's a fucking terrible nerd. And that's where I wrote down, too. Again, they pick and choose who they make fun of. Not okay to make fun of Wendy. Totally okay to make fun of Screech the nerd.
Because Screech really represents... Well, he only... Screech doesn't even represent nerds. He just represents
himself.
He's
like himself. His own thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he's like kind of...
And then with... Like, with the passing of decades, Dustin Diamond is clearly a very unpleasant person.
Yes, yes.
And, like, so I have no issue with them.
You're
ostracizing
like,
Screech.
Do it up.
It just seems like...
Make fun of him all you want, guys.
Yeah, like, he doesn't represent... Nothing about him is... I mean,
He's just, like, a weirdo.
He's got the cocky thing.
Yeah.
He's confident, a la Anthony Michael Hall.
Right.
In 16 Candles.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear glasses.
True.
He tries to be fashionable.
Yes.
And he, like, tries to come on to girls. He is kind of, like, superficially, he does parallel, like, Anthony Michael Hall in 16 Candles.
Totally.
But,
I agree.
But without the sort of
but it's just,
depth of character.
Well, absolutely.
It's superficial
and they do,
performance.
I mean, he kind of doesn't fit into any clique. He is, but he is just a weirdo, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, but they don't. I mean, whatever. They're always like a total asshole to him, but it's a
But he seems unfazed and unbruised by it.
Right.
Like he doesn't.
You don't.
He's Teflon.
I agree, sort of. But you don't think behind, like he goes home every night and like cries, or do you think?
No.
I almost think he's so socially inept and so unaware of social norms that it doesn't even register with him that
right.
people are being mean. So maybe he's totally fine. But
I think so. Yeah.
Like, Jesse sits down with Zach and is like, look, Screech sucks. He's driving me nuts. And Zach goes, well, you made a commitment. Like, you have to go to the dance with him and honor your commitment. And in saying that, realizes, oh, I'm a jerk. Like, I also did the same thing to Wendy. I should go be
yes.
a stand-up dude. So he kind of realizes this. Light bulb goes off. Next scene is at the dance. And so when Wendy walks in, and again, wearing the mommiest of dress it. Like, it's a thing my mom would go, what? That's whack. My 60-year-old mom today would be like, I wouldn't wear that. That's whack.
Yeah.
She's totally coming in with that whole style going on. And Zach goes up to her and he's like, look, Wendy, I totally do want to hang out with you. And she's like, oh, that's cool. What changed your mind? And he just says, well, I feel guilty about dumping you.
Yes.
Which it's like, you... It's shitty, of course, but you would know not to say that. Like, you just wouldn't, even if you felt it, you wouldn't say it.
Yes, he's clueless about how to navigate these.
Which
sort
is
of
so weird because
situations.
He's the king of the school. He's supposed to be the most socially adept person
right.
ever. But yeah, so he says that, and Wendy goes, well, no thanks, buddy. I don't want your pity.
But isn't there, this is prior to the dance, there's a scene where Lisa and Brian are getting on. And Tiffany tells Lisa she's not being her real self.
You're right.
Which
you're
is right before that, which is an important scene.
You're right. I'm sorry. Where, I did skip
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Tiffany plants. Lisa is pretending to be an intellectual.
Right. They're Brian's like quoting philosophy up, to each other.
Eating it up.
Yes.
And then Tiffany sort of takes her aside and gently chastises her.
Yes.
For not being her real self.
Yes. Kelly is like, well, he.
I called her Tiffany, but it's Kelly. Hey,
you know her by her real name. I know her by her stage name. Yeah. Kelly's like, what are you doing? And yeah, and Lisa goes, well, this Lisa has a boyfriend, which was also a sort of a heartbreaking thing, too.
By the way, how ultimate is that? That's the ultimate 90s actress name, that your name is Tiffany and Amber.
Tiffany Amber. Hi. This was like a heavily hyphenated. It's Tiffany Amber Thiessen and
yeah.
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah, it's a big
like, isn't that weird? I never knew anybody in real life growing up that had a hyphenated first name. Did you?
I can't think of one. No.
Yeah, nobody. I can't remember anybody in high school times that had that. I don't know anybody now that has a hyphenated first name. Honestly, I totally don't. Yeah, so she's like, you're not even being yourself. And Lisa's like, yeah, but this Lisa has a boyfriend. And then you're like, oh, that's sad.
Right.
Yeah, so you're right. I totally glossed
yes,
over that.
That's an important beat.
But yeah, so she goes back to being a fakey intellectual. So yeah, we're back at the dance. Zach just told Wendy, he feels guilty. She's like, well, no, thank you. I don't want your pity. And kind of storms off again.
There's some comic relief where Screech is attempting to woo.
Yes. Screech and Jesse are on their date.
He brings her some meatloaf, which gets an
Oh, right. At the Max. Yeah. Instead of flowers or whatever, he
gets
brings
an
her meatloaf.
Ew button.
That's true. It's one of the oohs. but now at the dance, they're like, because Jesse was like, okay, I gotta be nice. I'll give Screech a chance. So they're super like dancing and having fun at the dance. And then, they show yes. Slater like wistfully looking at her.
Right.
Because Kelly's like, oh, you really miss Jesse, don't you? And he's like, yeah, I totally do. When
By
it's
the
like,
way, there's an interesting, I'm sorry, but right around this time, Zach says to Jesse, Screech may act like a crash test dummy. But underneath, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Now, but that just was crash test dummy. What does that even mean?
That he's like so dumb he doesn't even have
yeah,
a
that
brain?
He's, yeah, that he's, it's kind of what we're talking about. He's so oblivious.
I think you're right. And what's interesting like, about that comparison too, though.
I first thought of the band, the Crash Test
well,
Dummies.
Of course, which I think this predates them.
Yes, no.
What if this is where they got the name?
Yes, Screech may act like a Goo Goo doll.
How great would that be? Look, sometimes Screech acts like a Stone Temple Pilot, but he's really a cool dude. Ah, that's so great.
Yeah.
Well,
a Crash Test Dummy is a brainless thing that just flails around. I guess that's what that means. He may be a brainless thing that just flails around.
And that physically throw into brick walls and shit.
Yeah, and that we abuse.
Yes, yes, yes.
Deliberately.
Yes.
But he's actually a great guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Which, I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. Because,
well, who's making him the crash test dummy? You are. You and your society.
You're making him that. And also, sure, he's a cool dude because he lets you do it. He, like, lets you crash him into brick walls and is cool with it.
At least that way he can feel something.
Plus, God, it gets dark.
Yes.
It's real dark.
Is there a cutting episode?
God, there should. That would be timely. That was a 90s thing.
Yes.
That was a real 90s thing. That would have been really timely. But they, with Screech, whenever they make comments about him being brainless or whatever, there are episodes where he builds a robot.
Right.
He is not dumb. He's smart as shit. He's just socially dumb.
Yes.
But I guess, you know, the crash test dummy, as far as it being like a thing, a body that we just throw
so
around willy-nilly.
Smart-tarded, as a friend of mine once.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Intelligent, but socially.
Yeah, totally. But the crash test dummy, that is true. It's very accurate. They do just like throw him around as they see fit.
It's a rather, it's a strong.
He may be a Goo Goo doll.
It's a strong simile.
Amazing.
Like, so he's, again, they're. Blondie is smart, but also clueless. They're like, that's a rather articulate distillation
of
Screech's essence.
Right. The essence!
From,
That's beautifully put.
From
it's
Zach.
Poetic. That's amazing. So, but yeah, so we're back at, so Jesse's giving Screech a chance at the dance, and they're dancing together, and so when Slater sees them,
Yeah.
He's so wistfully like, oh my God, I miss her. Miss her so much. And it's like, again, I think now maybe 24 hours has passed.
Mm-hmm.
You see her at school. I mean, this is like The Notebook type of shit where it's like, we've been separated by oceans and decades. And it's like, nah, dude, you probably sat next to her in science that day. Like, you see her. You don't miss somebody that hasn't been around for a few hours. I don't know. So
yes, but this it's become this societal recontextualizing that's occurred. Everything's been thrown into relief. Screeches with Jesse and
so it's just a matter of like down is up, black is white. Like
their whole social order has been inverted because of this auction.
So even though it's only been a mere few hours, just the fact that it's so different.
Yeah.
And so thrown into...
Yeah, context is people are changing their identities.
Right. It's true. Lisa's intellectual. Yeah. Oh, I actually forgot one of my favorite things. Oh, we're jumping around, but I forgot to say this too about this scene in the Max, is before Lisa's transformation, she asks Slater, she sits down and wants to get real with him. She's like, Slater, tell me what you think about me as a person.
Yes.
And he goes, okay, you're pretty... You're fun at parties,
right?
And you never have bad breath.
Yes.
Those are literally the three things he uses to sum her up as a human being.
And she has a moment of self.
But it's like, who wouldn't in that case? Because I would think even look, I was a teenager. Yes, they're dumb. But like you, even if you'd still go, well, you're a nice person and you're like, you'd think of something with a little more heft than like, you're pretty. And you are a cool dancer or whatever. I don't know. So even I could almost see if somebody told me those things where I'd go, hey, I need to make some changes in my life. Maybe I'll go home and read Anna Karenina in one sitting. Yeah.
Right. So that does fuel her effort to curry favor with Brian.
Yes.
By feigning sophistication and intellectualism.
But I would argue, even if Brian wasn't in the picture, if somebody said that to me, I'd go, I'll need to change some things about my life. For myself, not for some dude, but for myself.
Yes.
If the one thing that somebody can say about my character is that I don't have bad breath, then I'd be like, I should do something.
Yes. Although, couldn't you just go, oh, no, that's about Slater. He's the one with a limited perspective.
Because he doesn't dig deeper. He doesn't notice more. But what? Come on. Two-way street. She's not giving him more to notice. Two-way street. It's not all on him. But it was a dumb thing to say. You'd at least kind of fake it, I guess, I would think. And go, well, you're smart and you're perceptive. Like, you would think of something a little better than that. Okay. So, back to the dance. Slater super missing Jesse. Like, they haven't seen each other in 100 years. Lisa and Brian are, like, trying to have a good time. But he's being a dick. And, like, he's like, I hate your friends. They're dumb. And she's like, let's go hang out with them. And he's like, no way, they suck. And then that's when she's like, look, I can't take this anymore. Rips off her glasses, throws him down.
Yeah, she actually, she's still like impressing him. And then she suggests going to the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Brian actually betrays his nerdiness. He gives a nerdy laugh in response to that.
Yes.
A kind of high pitched laugh. She realizes that this isn't really a good pairing.
Yeah.
That this guy's a snob. He doesn't like her friends. He doesn't like her interests.
Yeah. And like totally. Yells at him in front of everybody and makes a big to-do about dumping him when, again, I'm like, you guys have known each other 24 hours. Like, I can't even believe he's already your boyfriend at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But she makes a big production about dumping a guy that she's hung out with, like, once. That's weird.
Oh, and Lisa removes her, like, Taylor jacket, and she's got one of her...
Like a crop top on. And
yeah, one of
sexy.
Her 90s shirts underneath.
Of course, yeah. Rips the hem of her dress off, too, so it's like a mini skirt and a crop top. And she's like, this is the real me.
And, she Velcroed it earlier just in case.
Yeah, just in case. Exactly. That's totally what I thought, too. Like, when she's putting on that outfit, she's like, what if I have to make a big scene about ripping this off?
Yes.
I need to add some accoutrement that I could rip off at the school dance. Totally. So big production is made of that. And then Belding comes out and is like, look, the whole reason for the season here is the new cheerleading uniforms that we raised money for. And so here's Kelly to model them. And so Kelly comes out and weirdly does like a solo cheer.
Yes. About the success of the auction.
Yes. And how great the new uniform fits her. It's so weird. It's just her, one person. It's not like the cheerleading squad. It's just her.
Oh, and did we talk about the beat where Screech tells Jesse to dance with Slater?
No.
Right prior to that? Because that they're sort of paired off again.
Yeah. And he says
Screech
that.
Screech kind of expedites that.
Because he's like, I can see how much Slater's hurting.
Yeah.
After these 24 whole hours without you or whatever.
Yeah, so she does her little cheer.
Mm-hmm. And then Belding.
Then Belding announces it's the last dance.
Yes.
A 90s ballad plays.
Yes. During which Kelly dances with Belding. So Kelly, in a super skimpy cheerleading uniform, slow dances with the principal of the school.
Yes.
Very gross and weird and frowned upon at the very least, if not cause for arrest. Lisa's stuck with Screech again, and like I said earlier, always have a problem with this because she's beautiful and she's always stuck with gross Screech. And then Zach goes up to Wendy
and asks her to dance.
Totally. And Wendy, and again, she's like, look, dude, I don't need your pity. And he's like, no, I really do want to do it.
And then the blather girl,
yes,
who liked the other
Lydia
tries to cut in, mm-hmm. and he says, no, I'm dancing. Wendy's my date. And then he says to Lydia something like, maybe we'll see you at the Max later.
That's right.
Suggesting that he'll be with Wendy at the after party.
At the after party. Totally.
And then she says, oh, you're going to do something with me after this? And
yes.
He says, yes. And the last shot is Wendy and Zach
in
dancing.
An embrace. Yes. Now, I have all the hopes in the world for Wendy and her happiness. That is true. But Wendy's got an awesome bullshit detector. She has no problem calling Zach out.
Right.
I do kind of feel bad that she does have so much optimism, though, that even she really does think Zach changed in the span of like two songs.
Right.
Because he tries to be like, you know, it's not about guilt. I genuinely want to hang out with you. She's like, yeah, okay, totally. When it's like, he's so obviously lying to you. But let Wendy have a good time, I guess.
Yeah. At least she's going to.
She deserves it. She's a cool person. Could do with a new wardrobe, but a cool lady.
Yeah.
And so that wraps up the episode and the general moral that it's sad to me that even needs to be said, that is, don't be mean to people who weigh more than you.
Yes. It's a society is radically changed overnight.
That's right.
And the members of that society suddenly have deep issues, deep identity issues.
That's right.
And
you could even continue.
And they all learn a little something about something.
Now, what? Give me your thoughts on the first ever viewing of a complete episode.
I don't have any desire to ever watch it again.
This is a one-time only exclusive,
huh? It didn't really
reel
me in. It's a kind of TV show where they just want to get the. I've done a lot of procedurals,
right?
Like as an actor, you know. My friend Holly Golden made the joke that I usually play Dr. Red Herring.
That's awesome.
The suspicious professional in the first half.
Right.
And I've given performances in these that I thought were good, but when they're edited together, they're just cut for like information and pace.
Right.
And not for depth of character. Not all of them are like this, but a lot of them are like that. And this reminds me of that. It's a kind of television making where...
So you're giving these kids a little bit more credit. You're saying maybe the kids gave a little more than we see.
I'm saying, yeah, the performers are all like every man and girl for themselves.
Right.
And that the producers obviously don't care about. The primary concern of the show is getting the information out, executing the story as quickly as possible.
Right, right. As quickly.
With very, very, very.
The point of the show is get it over with.
Get it over with. Let's wrap. Let's be out of here by 7 o'clock so we can all go to dinner.
Right, right.
We're just happy to have this gig in LA.
Right, right.
In the 90s.
Right.
Right.
So but you have kids though, right? What if your kids are like.
My kids, yeah, this kid's a little older than
what if they
want to
watch this with you?
That'd be fine. I don't think this would grab their attention though.
Okay.
Also, my kids are 7-year-old twins, so this skews a little older.
Well, sure. But this is around. This is on Netflix. This is on DVD. When they are teenagers.
I would have no objection to them watching the show.
Okay.
But it's just not.
The sexy woos aren't a little too much for them?
No. I forget what. My son, I think, I don't even remember what he was talking about, but it was like a drawing or a game or something. And he said, it's sexy. And he's 7 years old.
Right.
And we were like, that is hilarious. And like, clearly what he meant was, he meant it as a positive adjective for like
right.
something that was cool.
Right, right. Or, but he didn't know the actual meaning of the word sexy. Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's, yeah. Do you know what that word means? And I think he actually went, no.
That's
but
awesome.
Like he'd heard it on TV or something.
Right.
Like some of these shows, it's, you know, it's been used on like Adventure Time or, you
right.
know, like some of these that skew a little older. It'll be used sort of humorously. And so it was really funny to hear him say something was sexy.
Right. Aw, that's cute.
7 years old. And we're like, well, that's like a grown-up word, meaning like
right.
someone's attractive. But
and then you reach over and press the woo button at your house.
Yes.
The sexy woo. Well, thank you very much for coming over to
watch
this with me.
Oh, my God, this was amazing.
It was super fun. I'm really appreciative that you did this and that I was able to be the first and only, apparently, person that you're ever going to watch the show with. It's an honor, sir, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, and your Twitter is at James Urbaniak.
At James Urbaniak. Oh, and yeah, and I have my own podcast, which is called Getting On with James Urbaniak.
Yes.
Which is on Feral Audio and on the iTunes. And it's like little radio dramas, basically.
Oh, awesome.
It's like a little...
So it's way more professional than this, is what you're saying.
It's apples and oranges. Apples and oranges. I make it in my room
right.
on my Mac with GarageBand. So
nice.
It's as professional as yours is.
Okay.
But it's like little, it's basically like little radio plays.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome.
So
I will be subscribing to that.
There you go.
Immediately. I will, as soon as I get over to press the stop button on this. Okay, you guys, that was another episode of Go Bayside.
Yay.
And the next episode for you guys watching along on Netflix is All in the Mall. So that's coming up next. And I want to thank you guys, as usual, for the awesome iTunes ratings and the cool emails I get and all that kind of stuff. And I will see you next time on Go Bayside.
Beep, 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 Go Bayside!